Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
LaCroix Sparkling Water delivers refreshment, flavor, and sparkle with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium. There are 27 LaCroix flavors. They have sparkling water. They have the brand new Curate blends. Those are the fancy blends. Plus the new limoncello and pastèque. That's French for watermelon. LaCroix sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are sustainable and recyclable, and they're the first on the market to be produced without a BPA liner. LaCroix sparkling water is available nationwide. For a full list of retailers, visit www.lacroixwater.com.
Podcast One presents The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show with Heather and Terry Dubrow. Does it work or is it a crock? No worries. Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig are on the case.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Welcome back, everyone. Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
The response to Jen Berman last week was crazy.
Really?
Yes. We have to have her back on. She is amazing, but she said something that really just resonated with me. I was talking about it today on Heather Dubrow's World, about how she was talking about things that women need to be doing in each decade. I would really like to hear about that, because when I think about plastic surgery, and I know we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, I think about, you know, in your 20s, you do like facials, and in your 30s, you get a little Botox. Like, there's certain things you do to take care of your outsides, but we don't take care of our insides.
Right. So you want to talk about that?
No. Oh. I was just mentioning that. Sorry. How was your day?
Brittany came in and we filmed a scene.
Really? About
Paul's
what?
Fiance.
Yeah.
They're getting married in 24 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting married here and with just close family and friends.
Are they
friends.
Filming it?
No.
Oh.
And then they're getting married in
Greece. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah.
You know what I don't understand about that?
What?
Have we already talked about this? What I don't understand about that is, so the kids can't go to Greece. There's a multitude of reasons, but his kids can't go.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons, if I understand this, that he's doing this wedding here. Because
right.
Obviously he wants his boys to be a part of this.
Exactly.
So if you already know you're doing it here, why not just do the one wedding and do it here and then go take your honeymoon there? Why do yet another wedding?
I think they planned it and committed to overseas. And then when some things changed, it was too late.
Hmm.
And so I think he would, you know, despite what you think, I think he would still spend a lot more money here.
Well,
overseas,
now he's doing two. So let's just, I mean, look, they're getting married at a church here.
Which costs what? Not much.
Not much. There's nominal.
And
well, you have to decorate the church. Maybe they won't.
Yeah, and then he's
but
having a party at his house.
Usually you decorate the church. So if they do flowers and whatnot, that could be
and then he's
couple $1,000s to do the, you pay, you donate, is that the right word?
Donate.
Yeah, but that's not the right word. But anyway, so you give money to the church
mm-hmm.
for doing the wedding there, and then you probably have to print programs. I mean, like little things, nothing huge, right?
Right.
And then the party's at his house, but you still need flowers, a caterer.
Flowers? You think he'll do flowers?
You think they're not going to decorate the house?
I think he's going to do nothing.
No.
I think he's going to have, he says he's going to have Lebanese food from a, I think it's going to be very inexpensive. That's Paul.
So like he's not having it catered, they're just going to like pick up takeout?
They'll have some catering, but I don't think they're not going to have servers, I bet. It'll be a serve yourself.
Oh, you think it's going to be like a buffet?
I think it's basically the Lebanese equivalent of Taco Tuesday.
Oh, my God. You're so bad.
It's funny because
they're not going to have a wedding cake. They're not going to have a band. They're not going to dance. That's what the kids get to go look at.
I doubt he's going to hire a band. Paul is the cheapest guy in the world. He really is. It's funny because Brittany came in and we're filming it, and so I walk in, and so
what's the premise?
You know, they're about to get married, and what's the secret to our long marriage, and what advice do I have for them?
Did you use my jokes?
No.
Oh.
Did not.
Hmm. Surprising.
Yeah. So, you know, we...
Wouldn't that have been cute if I was there?
Yeah, I didn't know they were doing it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But, I mean, what are the chances that you and Brittany would be visiting... us
it's a TV show, honey. I think we can suspend disbelief.
True. So, shouldn't it be suspend belief? No, suspend disbelief. Yeah, disbelief. Yeah. Right, right. Okay. So anyway, so we had a whole conversation about Paul. What was he like when you met him?
So she came in, and it's like, hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Yep. Go. Oh, there was no other preamble? That was just it. Sorry. Go on.
Yeah. So I sat down, and I said, okay, you guys are getting married in 24 days? And we just start yakking. You know, it was about Paul, and what was Paul like when you first met him? And how?
What'd she say?
She said he was... Well, I said, what was your first impression of Paul? She said...
How did they meet? Do we know that?
I think he was at a medical meeting, and she was an assistant in some plastic surgeon's office, I think.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So what was her first impression of him?
She thought he was petite.
Like short? Is that a euphemism for short?
I don't know. And I said... what I said was, so what was your first impression of Paul when he... took his clothes off. That's what I asked her. She said, petite. I go, that's the last thing you want to hear your fiancé say.
When you took your clothes off?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. You never want to hear that. Is that like a penis thing?
That's that's not what she meant. She said he was skinny. I said, what? Skinny? Paul? I said, yeah, that was the guy you dated before Paul, right? And so we talked about that. We talked about, you know, Paul's foibles and things and what's like to live with him. And
what'd she say?
She said, oh, what's funny? I go, so does Paul have any strange? She goes, no, not at all. And then she would list like five things.
What was on the list?
You know, she has to get in the shower with him occasionally, shave his back. I go, wow.
He can't like go have that done. Look at Heather's face. She's horrified. Yeah, she can't have
He
can't just make an appointment and have that done.
And then she
Don't they have laser hair removal in his office?
And then he does stuff to his... She does stuff to his ear hair.
And I've been known to pluck an ear hair out of
And then I was so grossed out, I couldn't even go where I wanted to go, which was the nose hair, because Paul has nose hair issues. And I thought...
You didn't... Oh, I thought you were going to go to the nether regions.
No, I didn't go there.
Okay.
I didn't really go any place that I didn't think E would allow.
Ah, good
point. So I didn't want to waste time.
Okay, so then who asked you about how to have a lawn marriage? Did Brittany or Paul, did you just offer it up?
I think I offered it.
Okay.
They were supposed to ask me, but they couldn't get it together. Brittany was too nervous, and Paul, you know, has a memory of a goldfish.
By the way, was she all dolled up?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I think I insulted her first. I go, you know, you look great. You don't look like the typical bride-to-be right before they get married where they're, like, super skinny.
Oh,
and I realized,
mean.
I go, you know, that's not, I didn't mean it like that. I meant, you know, like Heather got super bird skinny right before, right?
Yes.
You were like.
Were you saying it like it was a negative? I look good at our wedding.
Yeah, you look great. But I'm just saying super bird skinny. Mm-hmm. And she just looks, you know, good. You know what I mean?
So now you're offending me. Okay.
No, I'm just saying you got super skinny.
Yeah, okay, good. You just said she looks super skinny.
No.
You look good.
No, she just, okay.
I'm joking with you. Go on.
So, and then we talked about, you know, secrets to a long marriage.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I said, pick your battles carefully.
Date your wife.
I didn't actually say that. I was tired. I couldn't think of that one.
Oh.
And then I said.
Let her be right.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Like stuff that's going to irritate
but
me
you know
or real
what?
Stuff?
Nothing like that, really. You know, she is so different than you that it's hard for me to give them advice. She is his fiancé and assistant, which is weird for me,
you.
Meaning, like, she works in his office as his assistant. She does all his stuff, much more than, like, you. I mean, you do everything for me, but, I mean, I have an assistant at work who does
right,
all
like
my work
even
stuff.
20 years ago, even though I did stuff for us, you had someone that was doing your work stuff. So
well,
she does both.
I mean, you know, you don't know my surgery schedule tomorrow and you don't know what phone calls I have to make.
Know that.
No, I don't want you to know that. I want you to have your own life.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I always wonder how couples, and some couples can do this, can work together like that and live together and not have an issue. I've seen it work.
I think, see, what I don't really understand is I've heard of couples working together, but couples where your wife is your assistant? I mean, that's...
Are you talking about personal assistant or assistant at work?
Name everything that you, Jamie, Natalie do for me.
Huh.
That's Brittany. Well, everything.
But back in the day, didn't I used to do all that too?
She didn't work in my office.
Not the office stuff. Everything outside the office. So her extra is in the office.
She does everything. She, you know, he's building a house. She does all that. He has a big practice. She does all that.
Right.
He has skincare lines. She does all that. I mean, we have assistants helping us with all that stuff.
I know, but we didn't have all assistants back in the day, honey.
But he's not back in the day.
Yeah,
he's me.
True.
Right
yeah.
now.
Why would he want her to do all that stuff?
I wouldn't want her to. I think, to be honest with you.
He doesn't want to pay anyone else.
He wants to save money.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So then we talked about how cheap he is. And she says, no, he's not cheap. But yeah, he doesn't like to. And then she names like five. But she says she's frugal, too. I mean, they're perfect. She's very...
Mellow.
I guess that's what happens when you marry... Although not necessarily. When you marry a girl who's 30 years younger than you, right? She either does nothing and you pay for everything and she leads that sort of second wife, trophy wife lifestyle.
Lucky gals.
Or in his case, she's like everything. Like he was telling me the typical day. He comes home. She gets home first, okay? And then he's got... He honks for her. She hears him, gets the dog, and they go out and greet him. And then he's usually got a lot of stuff bags in his car that need to be carried in. She carries it in.
Shut up.
And then when he gets in, he wants water. That's the first thing he wants. She gets him water.
Wait, does she bring the dog outside and they like go for a walk?
No, greet him. No, he doesn't want to go for a walk. He wants to go in the house.
Okay.
And then they go in, and she gets him water.
Okay.
And now he's renting a place while he's building this house, and he wants to go in the pool and maybe have a glass of wine. So he goes up and changes. She pours him a glass of wine. He goes in the pool and sits there, looks at the view.
And does she join him in the pool?
No, I don't think so, no. No, because that would be hair issues. You know what I mean? Girl hair.
Well, she could put it up.
I don't know. He likes to be...
I'm already horrified. Heather's horrified, too. She's looking at me like, what is this relationship? All right, so then what happens? So he gets out of the pool.
And he, you know, Paul, the moment he makes contact with anyone, whether it's on the phone or text or in person, he's going to give them tasks. So I say to her, I go, you mean to tell me when he comes home and he sees you, he doesn't immediately ask you to start doing things? No, not so much. I mean, you know, he says what phone calls he has to make and reminds me that I have to, you know, make sure to remind him, blah, blah. It's like she names everything he tells her to do as soon as he gets home.
Okay, so he gets out of the pool. Does he take a shower?
I didn't really ask that detail.
And then she's making dinner?
She arranges dinner.
She doesn't cook.
They like to say, oh, Paul's been cooking lately, meaning he cooked once in the last 3
weeks. Right, right.
And so she prepares it so he can cook it. But it's a very interesting sort of old-fashioned relationship, except he brings her to work. I don't think she goes to work, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever when he goes to operate. But I don't think he operates at 5 in the morning. But anyway, she goes to work. She works in his office.
Huh.
Craziness, huh?
Weird.
So she puts on scrubs and goes in. And then does all that stuff. And then goes.
And then they have dinner. Did you hear the rest of the day or no?
No, I didn't really.
Oh,
beyond
okay.
that, what are they? They're hanging out, I guess.
I guess.
You know. Crazy, huh?
Don't ever honk for me. Don't honk and think I'm coming.
I once honked you.
That was different.
Yes.
But if I ring the champagne doorbell.
Oh, I can. I'll come running. No, it's just a very. I can see why. You know, she's perfect for him because. She's really easygoing. And I said
he needs someone like
he
that.
He does, because his last wife was easy to anger. And he said she would be mad at least once a day, every single day.
That
and
was
often,
they had a
and
very,
often most days she
yeah,
was mad.
Yeah, they had a very contentious relationship.
Plus, she's very high strung, his ex-wife. And, you know, he's not that high strung, but he's high needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that was just
high
too
maintenance.
Tough a
he's super high maintenance.
My every interaction I've had with Brittany, she's very sweet.
Mellow.
Very mellow. Very sweet. Very nice.
Very. Yeah. No edge. I asked him, I go, does she have edge? He goes, no. I go, wow.
But I think he needs that.
Yeah. Well,
he needs a caretaker.
He's, yeah, exactly.
She's perfect. You're right.
So it's fun.
Good.
Anyway, so I did that. And then botch patients say I got a really, really difficult buttock case next week where this girl had fat in Mexico. taken from her tummy and back and ejected into her buttock, the old Mexican Brazilian butt lift.
Why has no one learned by now?
And it got contaminated, obviously, because she got an abscess on both sides.
Oof.
Yeah. And then debris had cut out. Now she's, you know, got a butt disaster.
That's such a bummer, man.
I know. So I got to tackle that next week.
You're listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
I am absolutely in love with my new favorite subscription. If you haven't heard about CauseBox by now, it's a quarterly subscription box curated by women for women that is filled with all sorts of amazing products and brands that have a positive mission to give back and make the world better. One of the best parts about getting your CauseBox is literally they ship it to your door for free. And when you open it, you feel like you got a huge surprise bundle of gifts because there's so many things. And it's not just like random sample size stuff. These are major products. I got a really cute tote bag. I got this great bento box. I got some really phenomenal skincare. I mean, it was really, really fabulous. And I love seeing my listeners get their CauseBoxes. So if you get one, tag me and let me know what your favorite product was. I was just talking about the duffel. That canvas duffel was the one to beat, but I really loved everything in it. And the best part is that, of course, I got my listeners an exclusive discount. So go to www.causebox, C-A-U-S-E-B-O-X, causebox.com/Dubrow, and use the code Dubrow to get your first box for 30% off. As in, you can get your first box worth over $250 for less than $39 and free shipping. If you haven't gotten your CauseBox yet, go check it out now before it sells out. I can tell you firsthand, you're going to love it.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
Oh, you know what? You know what the thing I wanted to talk about was? We've been getting a ton of questions about supplements. Mm. And today, I told you we were doing Heather Dubrow's World, and I was saying something. Oh, Jessica Yellen was here. We were talking about supplements. I don't know why. But I was like, I went from being someone who had no pills at all and, you know, being a supplement snob and thinking you are what you eat to now having this full case of pills. But every time I say that, I'm getting tons and tons of messages like, what are the supplements? Like, what do we need? So I kind of thought, I mean, of course, there's so many supplements, but I thought we could talk a little bit just to remind people about how supplements aren't regulated and how it's really important to know who to buy from, and then kind of go over the major ones that we all need.
All right. Yeah. So supplements refer to non-prescription things that people take, vitamins, minerals, things to help your physiology, things to prevent you from aging, prevent disease. And a supplement really can be anything from a food to a pill to basically any liquid or anything that sort of supposedly will have an effect. The problem with supplements is that they're not regulated by the federal government. So anything that's non-prescription, the federal government doesn't really get involved unless there's a problem.
Isn't that so? Oh, unless there's a problem? I've never heard that before.
Well, if there's a problem, the government steps in.
Right. But what isn't
like,
that?
What was the thing that sped you up? You know, the
The Fen-Phen?
No, that's prescription.
Oh, that was prescription.
No, Excedrin, whatever those things were.
Oh, the thing that was in the diet pills.
Yeah, they pulled that off the market because that was causing, it was a supplement, it wasn't prescription, but it was causing so many cardiovascular issues.
I find it insane that supplements aren't regulated. Think about this. Think about what, is this a $1 trillion industry? So you've got like the big box stores, you've got all those like health and wellness, like GNC type stores everywhere. You've got supermarkets. You've got pharmacies. I mean, everyone. You could, there's aisles and aisles and aisles of these things with the vitamin A, vitamin C, biotin, like all these different things. But it's amazing to me that you have no idea what's in the pills.
Well, I think it's not regulated because they're not particularly dangerous. They just may not be effective.
Oh, I see. So you can't, it's not like you can overdose. But wait a minute. What about melatonin?
Yeah. Melatonin has.
If you took in too much melatonin, you couldn't have a problem?
I don't think generally.
You can't OD from melatonin.
I mean, you could probably OD from anything, you know? but I don't think that melatonin has been pointed out to be a problem.
Oh, okay.
So, the government's obviously interested in safety first and efficacy second.
Right.
With prescription medications, to qualify as a prescription, they obviously have a very serious potential for side effects. And so that's why the FDA weighs in there. You have to prove they're safe before you can put it out there. The FDA's mainly when something is FDA approved, it doesn't necessarily mean it's effective, believe it or not.
It just means it's safe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
So FDA approved doesn't necessarily mean we've stamped this works. It means this is safe.
Yeah. I mean, generally, they want to see a benefit, right? But they're more interested in seeing, FDA is weighs in on drugs.
Right.
So drugs are a very specific category apart from supplements. Supplements don't have necessarily receptors for these things that are stimulated. Drugs do,
So I think it's a really good point. So I think that I just wanted to say this before we start going through these, like you have to know who you're buying from. You can't just go into a health food store. You can't just go into a high-end grocery store, a big box store and say, oh, I think my doctor said something about iron. Let me just pick this up, because you have no idea who's making it. And then they've done these undercover stories like on 2020 and stuff where they've gone into some of these stores and tested the ingredients. Because I remember my friend Bahara saying to me, oh, I tried biotin. It didn't work for me. And then when I heard all about the supplement thing, I thought, gosh, you don't even know if there was biotin in there, because some of the studies showed that in each bottle, the amounts were different. And in some of the bottles, they didn't even have the active ingredient in the pills. That's crazy.
Right. That's a big issue. But let's be honest. If you probably went and got a supplement at a major name supplement supplier, one of the huge ones.
Yes.
Whatever they are. I don't even know them, like Good Earth or whatever they are. I don't know. But the huge ones, they've been around forever. You could trust that.
But that's what I'm saying. Know who you're buying from. You don't want to get like some Joe Schmo brand you've never heard of before.
Right. So there's that. And then the other key issue is you walk into one of these health food stores and you're inundated with potential supplements to buy. So what the heck? It's like, how do you know if you bought everything, that's too much. How do you know what is significant, what you need, what may or may not help you? So it's really hard. There's no at least when you walk into a marijuana dispensary, as crazy as those places theoretically, thoughtfully are, you walk and they say, oh, this will make you feel this way. That will do this. This will do that. That will do this.
They have educated people.
Yeah. But the supplements, first of all, there's so many different varieties. There's so many kinds that do work and don't work. And so how do you know? So we can break it down.
Yeah, let's do that. So let's talk about the top several things that everyone should be taking. Let's start with omegas.
Okay, so omega-3 fatty acids, and those I think everybody should be taking. What are omega-3 fatty acids? They're, things that come from fish oil, and they are so crucial for cellular integrity, and we're talking cardiac cells, brain cells.
Brain function.
Yeah, and they, when we talk about them at CHOP HQ, when we're in Minnesota and we're at home talking about them, we never make – we have to be very careful when you're on television about the claims you can make. So we aren't allowed to make claims about anti-inflammation. But there's no question that one of the main functions of omega-3s is anti-inflammatory effects in the body. And that inflammation, as it turns out, is like the number one thing that happens as you get older, and it causes disease, and it's inflammatory control of the body that's crucial. So omega-3s, we never say it when we're on TV, but it's all about inflammation.
Well, I mean, I'm just so fascinated with omegas ever since Katarina.
Oh, yeah.
So when Katarina, I know some of you guys know this story, but when Katarina, our third child, was 15 months old, she didn't crawl. She didn't talk. She didn't even say mama. Nothing.
Yeah.
She just sat, this beautiful little cherub, and just sat there. I used to take her to the gym classes, and she would sit there, and all the kids would run by her. But the concern was really she wasn't talking at all. So we took her to a neurologist, and they did this MChat thing on her?
No, I did that. Oh, you did that. They thought she was apraxic.
Yeah, so they did this whole test on her. They said, she's apraxic. She will not have four words by the age of four. She's this and that. I called the pediatrician crying. And he said, I do not believe that.
You called me first, didn't you?
Well, first, yes, of course I called
and
you first.
And I said,
first.
No way.
I called you hysterically crying. And then you said, no. First,
I remember, I was in the OR. I was operating.
You were in the OR. I remember I buckled her into her car seat, opened the door, and stood about a foot away so I could see her, but she wouldn't, like, you know, see I was upset. And I just hysterically cried and said, whoa. And you said, I don't believe this. We will handle this. Don't worry about this. And then I called Dr. Yu.
Yeah, the pediatrician.
Yes. And he was like, I don't believe this.
And then I called the pediatric neurologist.
Yes.
I said, so.
You didn't care for him.
No. I said, so you think my daughter is apraxic? She goes, well, she is. And I go, okay. I said, so what makes her apraxic? She goes, she doesn't have any words. So by definition, I said, yeah, but she's really young. And he said, well, she's apraxic. And I go, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. So anyway, I went home freaked out, of course, and researched everything I possibly could. And for delay speech and a lot of other things in developmental childhood, fish oils are recommended. So we scoured the internet and we found, you know, I think it was Nature's Vitamins or something for kids.
Yeah.
And we got fish oil and we had to put it in our sandwiches and our food. Remember that? It was disgusting.
Oh, we tried to make Max and Nikki take it too, and they like took it for a little bit. But I will tell you, we gave her that fish oil.
4 to 6 weeks.
I huge
remember
improvement.
4 to 6 weeks. And I remember thinking, and I was wondering, because I'm very skeptical of my own observational ability when it's on somebody that's really important to me, like my own family member. I remember after 3 or 4 days thinking she's changing. I really did, in terms of her communication ability.
And of course, we did put her in intense speech therapy and physical therapy and all these things. And she stone cold normal. I mean, she went from zero words to like speaking full sentences. That was the best case scenario. But that's what started my fascination with the omegas. But at that time, the omegas weren't great. You'd kind of burp up fish, and they're so much better now.
Well, no.
But will you explain kind of what to look for in an omega? Because there's different kinds of fish
right,
oils,
there's,
right?
There's DHA, EPA, DPA. So you got to get all three of the different kinds of omegas, number one. Number two, they have to be in the right doses. And, you know, studies continue on, and these are serious medical studies in cardiology. And, you know, the omega I was initially on was way too low that my cardiologist put me on. And so I looked it up, and it's very clear you need 750 of EPA, 750 of DHA, and you need at least 250 of DPA, whatever. The point is you need the much higher dose than previously thought. And so that's the number one thing we take every single day.
So let me ask you a question, because, you know, they're big kind of horse pills and they've got the fish oil in them. I remember, I think for a cat, I poked a hole and squished it and stuff.
Right.
Is it as effective
yes.
to do that?
Yes, it
so
is.
You don't have to swallow it?
No.
The pill?
No, you can. Yeah, but why would you ever want it
well,
to pass by your taste buds?
Well, because there's some people, I'll tell you why, because sometimes when I talk to people, just friends or people that ask me about supplements, I'll talk about omegas and they'll say, I just can't swallow those things. It makes me sick. I can't swallow them. It grosses me out.
How do you get them down then?
Well, you can. That's why I'm asking. Can I put it on my salad?
Ugh,
can I?
Yeah, but could you imagine what that would taste like?
Well, not if you. Is it okay if you mix it with vinegar?
Yeah, I wouldn't
vinegar?
Recommend that. I just think it would dilute it too much.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I want
to. So take the pills. The gel caps. So, by the way, the point he was making, you got to make sure they're from a certain type of fish and that they're pure. And you can tell by if you put them in the freezer, they won't do anything funky.
Oh, that's a good point. So
yeah.
If you put them in the freezer.
And they freeze, they're no good.
Right. Because, you know, oil doesn't freeze.
Right.
If you take a bottle of oil and you put it in the freezer, it's not going to freeze.
Not at the freezer temperatures.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you get some of those omegas, put them in the freezer. And if they freeze over.
Yeah.
Not a lot of omega.
Yeah, and they're not pure. And then they should come from, you know, like certain type of fish, sardines and those kinds of fish. But the other thing is, this is and let's move on from this, but this is something you should just take, period. End of story, every single day. Done.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig.
Caldrea. Have you heard of Caldrea? Okay, so we're washing our hands so much now. And you know what? I decided my hands They don't feel good. I don't even like the way they smell from all the hand stuff I've been using. And I discovered Caldrea, Caldrea, hand care with a hand washing angle. Because what you're getting is incredible home cleaning products, incredible lotions and hand washing soaps, all with the most amazing scents. Fresh pear blossom, ripe citrus, succulent melon. I mean, really nice, bright and crisp scents made with essential oils from lemon and jasmine and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients. So if you're just over it and you want something new that's going to be incredibly effective on your hands and in your home, but smell clean and fresh, this is exactly what you're going to love, Caldrea. Now, I received mine as a gift. Yeah, trust me, when you get this, you're going to refuse to use any other dish soap or home soap or just regular hand soap. I got mine as a gift, but now I'm just reordering it for myself because I love it so much, and your kitchen is going to smell divine. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you buy online at Caldrea.com. That's Caldrea.com. Visit Caldrea.com and add a touch of luxury to your home care.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig.
Then there's coenzyme Q10. Paul, it's funny that we should be talking about this right now because Paul and I just had this discussion 3 hours ago.
Seriously?
We reviewed all of the supplements we take and the ones we think everyone should take on a break.
Really?
Yeah. This exact
Did
conversation.
Did you agree?
We agreed to the only one I thought that you should take that he isn't taking is high doses of resveratrol.
I take that.
Yeah, which is like...
Well, as we know from Real Housewives of Orange County, it cures cancer.
Yeah, which, you know, the formerly lower doses probably are ineffective. And there's a guy named David Sinclair that's very hot. He runs a big laboratory at Harvard, an anti-aging laboratory.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he thought that resveratrol was the big deal for anti-aging and reverse aging in cells. And, of course, now he thinks it's helpful, but not the big deal that it was. But to make it helpful, you have to take like 2,000 micrograms per day.
So he doesn't think it's good?
He does. He does think good, but only in very high doses.
So what do we take?
We take high doses now.
I think I take 3 of those pills a day. Do you know how many milligrams?
I think there's 1,500. And the 500 each.
500.
But I used to take one 500, and he says that's not very effective in the studies you've done. So I take 1,500.
Is that what he said, 1,500?
I think he said 2,000. But, you know,
we should look it up. And
that's
find
too many.
Out.
He said 2,000, but that's too many pills to go in our pill box. Our pill box isn't that big.
By the way, I need a bigger pill box already.
So resveratrol in 1,500 milligrams or higher.
Okay, so we were starting to talk about CoQ10.
Oh, CoQ10. So,
but what did we say? What resveratrol?
Well, the current thinking, you know, resveratrol used to be thought of as a super powerful antioxidant, and the whole antioxidant thing is really. Very, very
vague.
Vague, but it's really very easy. What are free radicals? So as your cells are doing their physiologic and chemical reactions, they knock off electrons, and those are called the oxygen free radicals. And those electrons are normally neutralized by compounds in your system, particularly coenzyme Q10. And so as you get older and the chemicals, the coenzymes that neutralize the oxygen-free radicals that are made inside your cell from making fuel, those oxygen-free radicals that are not neutralized, they injure your DNA and can lead to, you know, mutations and can allow cancer genes to be expressed and so on and so forth. So that's why this antioxidant thing is so big. It turns out resveratrol probably isn't the most powerful antioxidant. In fact, it's probably mostly for inducing you to make a hormone called cerillin.
What's that?
Cerillin that helps you lose weight, weirdly. Yeah. And that
really?
Introduces the weight loss hormone, cerillin. So anyhow.
So what is the most powerful antioxidant then?
Well, I think the most practical one that everybody should be on, and you're making a mistake if you're not on it, is coenzyme Q10.
That's an antioxidant?
What it is, it has dual function. One, it's a coenzyme. Coenzymes are, they're helpful enzymes. Enzymes generally help a reaction go from the reagents to the products, you know, to, you know, substrates to the product. And so, meaning from the stuff that, you need to make something to the actual thing you make, right? That's a chemical reaction. So coenzyme Q10 is the thing that helps that reaction happen. But in the cell, coenzyme Q10 does two key functions. One, it helps you convert ADP to ATP, which is the fuel of the cell.
Right.
Okay, so that's what gives you energy. And as you get older and your coenzyme Q10 levels diminish, you don't get as good at making fuel. So your body gets fatigued, your cells get fatigued, and you get disorders like dementia and heart disease and so on. The other thing coenzyme Q10 does is neutralize the oxygen free radicals that are shot off from that chemical reaction. So as that doesn't happen, as your coenzyme Q10 level goes down, the oxygen free radicals that are not neutralized hurt your cells. So it's really important.
So it's like a radical blocker.
It is. So it's really important every day to take a coenzyme Q10. I think everyone, any kind of doctor would agree on that. Okay, particularly if you have heart disease.
Can I back up for 1 second?
Mm-hmm.
What age should we be taking the
omega-3?
Omegas?
I think it's really important to start at early 30s.
And what about the resveratrol?
I think 30s.
And what about the
same,
CoQ10?
Same.
Okay, so what
you know,
I, ten,
5 years ago, I would have said 50s, but no, it's very obvious that aging happens on a cellular level way before you see it on a, you know, macro level.
Yeah, I was saying today, I wish I had known now. I mean, I wish I had known at 35, I wish I had known what I know now about supplementation and aging and hormones and all this kind of thing.
Never too late when it comes to this stuff.
Right? No, not at all. But it would have been nice to get the jump on all this. What I also think is interesting about the CoQ10 is that, so CoQ10 is something that we already have in our bodies. We're born with it.
Our liver makes it.
Right. So it's not like you're adding it. It's like something that we already have. But from age 20 on, it starts to deplete.
Right.
And what's fascinating, not fascinating, but scary maybe, is that if you're on a beta blocker for high blood pressure or you're on a statin for high cholesterol, it annihilates your CoQ10.
That's right. So that's why if you're on that, you clearly need CoQ10. But excuse me, even if you're not on that, you need CoQ10 because you're foolish not to, okay? And so CoQ10, you know, you need 200 milligrams a day. And if you take it along with the black pepper plant bioperine in 5 milligrams, you get a much better absorption of that 200 milligrams.
And before we continue, will you tell – I you said something the other day or recently that I was like, wow. And it was about when you swallow a pill, how long it takes – how long you have to get the effects of it to absorb before it passes through your system.
So minerals and vitamins are only absorbed in your stomach. So that if you think about it, when you swallow something, it goes from your mouth to your esophagus, seconds.
Right.
And then it gets into your stomach. And it sits in your stomach for a gastric cycle, meaning it sits there for probably 30 minutes.
Okay.
Now, if you had a huge meal before that, that might delay gastric emptying.
Because it's backed up?
Yeah. But in general, you have 30 minutes before it's passed into your small intestine. There is no mineral vitamin absorption in the small intestine. So you only have 30 minutes. So if you don't have whatever you want to be absorbed in a fine powder that's easily digested and easily absorbed, you're just going to send it into your small intestine and you're going to absorb it with the water from your large intestine and you're just going to urinate it out. So you have 30 minutes to get this. So it needs to be done in a specialized – that's why most good vitamins are in the powder form in a capsule because the capsule is quickly broken down and bam, it's already – mainly broken down and
right.
The stomach can just go, yeah, let's absorb this in the gastric mucosa. Okay. So that's one thing. So we've talked about omega-3s. We've talked about coenzyme Q10.
How about baby aspirins? Is that not in the same?
Yeah, I think baby aspirin is something that everyone over the age of 40 should be on. Now, that was controversial for a while. Well, it's controversial right now in that recent studies, I wouldn't call them studies, although there might be one study that a lot of people are talking about. Recent information and advice on the internet from reliable sources have suggested that maybe the risks outweigh the benefits of even a baby aspirin. But that points.
But every few years, doesn't the American Heart Association kind of like change their minds about this whole thing?
Totally. But somebody did a study, a retrospective study, where they looked at a certain group of people who were on baby aspirin versus those who weren't. And the GI complications and bleeding complications were significant in the ones on it. So they said, well, maybe it's not worth it. But then when you talk to the cardiologists that have gone to the recent American Heart Association meetings, they all say, nope, studies have shown clearly that baby aspirin is important and it's worth the risk, which is pretty low.
I'm on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Vitamin D?
I think vitamin D is critical. And, you know, even when you're, you know, we don't make vitamin D. You have to, you know.
Well, why can't you just sit out in the sun?
You can. You can, but you know.
You can get enough by sitting out in the sun.
Well, yeah, if you do it enough, but then you're exposing yourself to the sun. So it's important to take vitamin D supplementation, and that's critical for bones and for so many other things. And so vitamin D, no brainer. And then what's next? You know, we talk a lot about metformin, and we've talked about that before on the show. And I think metformin for controlling your blood sugar is really critical.
But that's a prescription.
That is a prescription, but the anti-aging properties, not all the doctors will agree with this. Certainly the ones who are on the frontier of anti-aging all do, that you should probably be on at least 500 milligrams, and most people suggest 1,000 milligrams a day now of metformin. So there's that. And then there...
Biotin,
yeah. I think if you're interested in hair health, that biotin at really significantly high levels, at least probably 10,500 micrograms, is important for sending as much of your hair cells into the growth phase. Because you get older, you know, your hair is basically in sort of two phases. There's really three, but the two that really count are the growth phase and the resting. The one in between where they're deciding it's like going, okay, we're not going to grow anymore. We're not yet resting. We'll just not do anything. And this one's about to fall out and go into the growth. That's called the, you know, telogen phase. Who cares? The point is it's growing and that's a short one. It's growing or it's resting. And so as you get older, when you're young, you know, 85% of your hair cells, scalp cells are in the growth phase. 15% maybe are in the resting phase. You get older, particularly women, after the age of 60, as much as 40% can be in the growth phase and 60% in the resting phase, whereas guys, our hair cells die. The hairs...
Shut up!
Yeah, their hair cells miniaturize. The hairs miniaturize, which is the first sign that the hair cells are getting weak and, like, choking off, and then they die, and that's why we get baldness.
Choking off?
Yeah. They choke off the blood supply, and then that's why they die. So, you know, that's male pattern baldness. That's a different issue than women typically
have. Really?
So
they die. Is there anything you can do to help them not to keep them alive?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Other than, like, a transplant? I mean, what about, like, the topical, the Rogaine?
Does
that extend your life?
There's no question that if you're 20 and you're a guy and you're concerned about a receding hairline and showing signs of early hair loss, that if you're not on, and this is a total no-brainer, if you're not on finasteride, which is Propecia, the generic is finasteride.
Yeah, but they say that the name brand is more effective.
Yeah. If you're not on that and you're not on minoxidil every day for the rest of your life, you're making a big mistake because it's clearly shown to slow it and in many cases stop it, arrest it.
What are the side effects of doing that at such a young age? Are there any fertility side effects or anything like that?
No, sexual side effects with Propecia for sure.
Really?
I can't imagine the Propecia sexual side effects are so powerful they're going to blunt a 20-something-year-old sexual drive when you're a guy because it's like through the roof anyway.
Yeah.
So the sexual side effects and the minoxidil, which is, you know, Rogaine, which goes on your scalp. It's designed to be used twice a day, but studies have shown you use it once a day, use it every as much as you can use it, it will help you. So if your doctor, your dermatologist, your plastic surgeon, whoever isn't telling you, hey, you know, you should be on Propecia and minoxidil every single day for the rest of your life, you're missing out on the one thing that's going to preserve your hairline the best. And it really works.
Wow. Okay, so back to biotin.
So biotin is a...
How much do we need?
Well, I think you need 10,500 micrograms. Okay. I think, you know, we used to think it was about 8,000, but clearly you need more. And you know, you can't get enough biotin food from your food. It takes like 300 eggs to get 10,500 micrograms. So that's a biotin-rich food egg. So
same with the omegas, because I think a lot of people think if they're having their... one or two servings of fish per week that they're covered.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically you are, but by the way, 0% of Americans have 1 to 2 fish servings per week.
No, but I remember reading a study recently that you and I looked at together that showed, I mean, I think you'd have to eat like pounds of fish
to get what we're recommending you take.
Yeah.
The other thing is that
you should still be eating the fish.
You should, but the other thing is that the fish that you typically eat isn't high in the omegas. The salmons, the stuff like that,
the
tunas.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, the icky fish that is super high in omega-3s. Those icky fish, you never eat
those. Oh, like sardines.
Sardines and those other cold water. Disgusting.
Like
ugh.
Yeah.
So, okay, so there's that. And then, you know, we think you should be on, of course, you're on something for your joints, right?
Okay, so we have, I didn't want to make this about like what we sell, but people are always asking me. And also, actually, you know what, in our new book, oh, by the way, you guys, check your emails, because if you're listening to this right now and you signed up to be a DeBro Keto Fusion Diet guinea pig, there is an email in your inbox right now. Congratulations.
Yeah, what you're going to like about this diet, by the way, if I might interject, is this diet is super effective, but it's so much easier than the keto diet and the former DeBro diet.
You guys are going to love this.
There's no appetite. There's no hunger.
No, it's really good. And
it's not complicated.
This might be my favorite book we've done.
No doubt.
Yeah. And it's fun. You guys will like it. And there's color insert, picture inserts, and the whole thing. Anyway.
You're listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
We all need a break now and then, but why not keep your brain active while you relax? Terry always says that the way to keep your mind sharp is to do puzzles. And that's why I love the fun puzzle game, Best Fiends. It's an oasis of fun you can take with you anywhere. It's a unique and exciting puzzle experience that's unlike any other puzzle games out there. Now, anyone can play it, but it's actually made for adults. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels and events, so it never gets old. Best Fiends treats the game like a service for their players. Here's the best part. You don't need the internet to play, so you don't have to worry about Wi-Fi access or using cell data. You can collect tons of characters, and there's always new monthly themed challenges. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
Actually, in the book, we do have a section about supplements and whatnot. We didn't cover all of these. But again, so many of you guys messaged me. I thought we'd just talk about it. So we have something called Joint Solution. So my thing is that my shoulder used to be really bad. And I never had a shoulder injury. And strangely, it didn't hurt when I was lifting weights. It hurt when I ran.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if it was just the pounding or what, but it would really bug me. I'd always roll my shoulder, and Bahara next to me would always be like, what is wrong with your shoulder? So I started taking this Joint Solution that we do. But what's the active ingredient in that?
It has three things. It has, you know, the lubricating fluid, which is hyaluronic acid,
which is right.
And it has this, it has a product, a derivative of the turmeric plant called curcumin C3 complex, which is from an Indian root plant that's super powerful for anti-inflammation, which is the cause of pain. And then it has this patented ingredient called C3 complex, which is designed to smooth out the cartilaginous surfaces. It's super effective. I mean, it like works in 2 weeks.
But then once
a day.
Yeah, and when I run out of it, though, it totally goes back. I'm not telling you to go sign up for our Joint Solution. I'm just saying, if you're someone who's like creaky, like if you're older, you've got a parent that's older, this is like, these ingredients are so good and so effective. What I worry about with people is the Advil.
Yeah.
So I love Advil. Do not get me wrong. I'm a big proponent of Advil, but I've had periods of time in my life where I had like chronic pain from something. The shoulder, I had knee pain for a while, or hip pain, and I was taking so much Advil, I started getting ringing in my ears.
I have it chronically, ringing in my ears.
Now you do?
I always have.
Still?
It's funny because I remember, because I've taken Advil my entire life, unfortunately. I stopped it, but...
You take it sometimes.
I do, but I don't remember I took it every single day.
You think
day.
That's what gave you the earring?
There's no question. It killed my middle ear cells. And so I remember when my best friend's mom graduated med school. She went to med school after us. In fact, she was the oldest person to ever graduate USC med school.
That's very cool.
Brilliant woman. So
she was on Oprah.
Yeah. So she went into internal medicine, and we were talking about ringing in the ears and people who take Advil. I go, I take Advil. I don't have any ringing in the ears. She goes, you don't? And I go, no. And then I went home that night, and I went to sleep, and it was quiet, and I had ringing in the ears.
She did that thing that people do. It's like the person sitting next to you sniffing at the movies that you didn't notice till someone pointed it out.
And so I wasn't aware of it. And then it became like it bugged me like crazy for a week. And I became obsessed and upset. And then I go, wait a minute. Whoa. You've had this the whole time. Go back to where you were mentally, emotionally, attention-wise. And like right now, there it is. I have ringing in the ears. But if I don't... I've gotten very good at being able to focus my brain at segments of my life.
That's good.
Advil's a problem. So, you know, you can get off the Advil, go on the joint solutions and so on. So the other thing is that I think is important for men is a daily very low dose of Cialis. That's a big anti-aging thing.
Oh, that's the erection.
That's the erectile dysfunction thing, which increases blood. So the way Viagra and Cialis work is that they increase blood flow to the penis.
Are they the
same? Well, no, they're different, but they have the same mechanism of action.
Okay.
So Cialis, when you take it in low dose, not enough to have you walk around with an erection all day, but what it does is it dilates all your blood vessels. So the idea is that it not only dilates your blood vessels down there, it dilates the arteries going to your brain.
So it's kind of like the prescription version of Beats.
Exactly. The Beats.
I never knew this.
Yeah, that's what it's for. So I take...
Because some people don't take it for erection issues.
No, it's anti-aging use is not for erection.
Huh.
It's for arterial dilation. It's to open up the blood vessels to your brain. Yeah, that's what people take it for.
But women don't take it.
No, women don't take it.
Hmm.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's for the penis.
Yeah, maybe. It's not a thing. So there's that. And then, you know, then you get into the whole realm, which we won't cover, of potential hormone supplementation that you should see Dr. Jen Berman for, or Dr. Lester Lee, you know, in Newport Beach for. These are guys who are experts in that.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had them on the show
Lester
before.
Hasn't been on the show yet. He's coming on the show.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Lee's coming. He's in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
And Dr. Jen Berman is in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty much the supplements that we would recommend. And, of course, a multivitamin. A really great multivitamin every day would be very helpful.
And there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it.
I think that was so good, honey.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty complete list. Now, of course, iron, if you...
Right, if you need it. So let me ask you this question as kind of a wrap-up here. At what age should we be doing labs, baseline labs, and what kind of labs are we supposed to be getting? Because, you know, some people will say, oh, I went to the doctor, they did my labs. But who knows, if you're not in the know, how do you know what a conclusive panel is?
Well, I think, you know, most doctors, if you say, I want to... my lab's done, they'll do a CBC, which is a complete blood count, which will give you white blood counts, you know, red blood counts, and your hemoglobin, hematocrit. Everyone needs that because that looks for anemia.
Right.
Okay. Then you should have a LFTs, which looks at your liver function, but you basically do a comp panel. Every lab does it differently.
What's a Chem-7?
Chem-7 is just sodium, potassium, chloride, BUN,
that's
creatinine.
That's what they used to say on ER.
And glucose.
Give me a CBC and a Chem-7.
Yeah, it's just seven things that tell you exactly what's going on in terms of electrolytes.
Got
and
it.
Blood glucose and kidney function, creatinine and BUN. But a Chem-30, some places call it, or a complete Chem panel will cover much more. It'll cover things like your hemoglobin A1C. It'll cover liver functions. It'll cover iron levels, all those things. So I think every once in a while, you know, even in your 30s, it's a good idea to have a complete blood panel.
And what about hormone levels?
Well, I think, you know, if you're 20, 30, probably not. You know, if you're 40 and female, probably it's time to start checking
out. If you ask Jen, she would say 35.
Yeah, 35, probably true, probably true. But I think the sensitivity of hormone panels in your mid-early 30s is probably less sensitive than it, as you get older, because the chances that you'll have a hormone problem in your early to mid-30s is lower.
I don't know. Jen says perimenopausal and women starts at 35.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, women mostly can still get pregnant at 35.
Oh, for sure. But that's the
thing. If you're perimenopausal, you're not getting pregnant.
But I think that's the misunderstanding, is that because when I always thought about perimenopausal, to me, it meant like the 2 years before you stop having your period.
Right.
Peri meaning around menopause.
Mm-hmm.
But what Jen says is, and this is why I want to have her back on to talk about the different decades, is that your perimenopausal is like, could be 15, 20 years. It's just about the stages leading up to menopause.
Well,
and it's not the 2 years before. It's this bigger picture of what's going on and all these signs that we ignore because we have kids or the boyfriend leaves you or you leave the boyfriend or the job is crazy. We make all these excuses for what's going on when our bodies are going through changes starting at 35. And if you don't have a baseline, you don't really know where you're going.
Well, I love that view because that basically is the new frontier of anti-aging. It's the realization that although at 35, 34 can still get pregnant and you still have plenty of hormones around, if you start capturing a idea of where you're at early, you can start making early changes and prevent all those things that women go through.
Exactly. And I think the problem is exactly kind of what you're also saying is you feel old if you start talking about this at 35 because you're only 35. You can still have kids. You're young. Da, da, da. No one wants to talk about that. But it's exactly what we should be talking about. And I was with a girlfriend yesterday that's 37. And we started talking about this. And she said, gosh, she brought up with me. She's like, I've been thinking about my hormones. I'm like, that's so weird that you just brought this up because this is all I've been talking about. And we had this whole conversation. And she wants to get on it now.
I think that's great.
I love it too. This has been amazing. I'm so glad we talked about this. So I hope this answered everyone's questions. If you have any follow-up questions, you can go to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Instagram page and send us some DMs. You can go to @HeatherDubrow. You can go to @DrDubrow. And thank you guys so much for your support. And let us know, you know, what you want to hear more of or what kind of guests. We're booking a lot of guests right now. And I'm really curious to see who you guys are interested in. Anyway, thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow. Download new episodes every week on the Podcast One app, iTunes, or at podcastone.com.